Spiegel and Ohms on the score. Let's check in Cubs camp, live at HoHoCam Camp, HoHoCam Park. Joining us on the score hotline, guests on the hotline brought to you by Cube Sports Bar inside Rivers Casino. Join the fun at Cube for college basketball action. He is our guy, Adam Hoge. All sorts of news out of Cubs camp today. Hello, Adam. How are you?
Good. Very busy today here in Mesa. A lot of red meat, as Dale Swain put it. And just before I came on with you guys, they completed a Theo Epstein compensation. Jair Bogaerts, a 19-year-old first baseman, comes to the Cubs from the Red Sox, and that finally puts that long saga to bed there.
There's a lot of news just on that thing alone. For those who don't know, Chris Carpenter, the Cubs reliever, sent to the Red Sox. News came out yesterday. He needs elbow surgery. He needs elbow surgery, Adam. So that and now Bogaerts comes here, so they're done. Did Theo or Jed Hoyer comment on Chris Carpenter needing surgery today?
Yeah, we talked to Jed Hoyer today, and he, you know, they mentioned that it's actually something they were looking into, but he also said don't read too much into that, and then they said, will that affect the player to be named later, and he said no, and then, of course, about an hour later, we found out that the player to be named later was actually going to come today, so it doesn't seem like it's going to be that big of an issue, but obviously, you know, Jed Hoyer said you don't really want that to happen when you make a trade. You want everyone to be happy.
Wow.
And obviously it's unfortunate for Carpenter and the Red Sox.
So, Adam, when they stepped away from the microphone, was there a big belly laugh? did they say, you've been punked to Boston? Or did they just say, no, I'm just kidding. Let's talk about some of the other stuff going on down at Cubs camp. Jeff Samardzija has been on our minds and in our thoughts and in our prayers as he makes the starting rotation for the Cubs. What is there that he's done in the spring that should make people look twice and think that he could be successful after failed at it before?
Well, I think more than anything, and he has done some things differently mechanically. You know, he talked about just he wants to be able to use all his pitches effectively. And what he talks about is not just throwing the ball, but actually taking time. You know, he had a really good start yesterday. And he talked about how he stepped off the mound, took some more time, put more effort into thinking about what pitch he wanted to throw and working with Giovanni Soto on that rather than just, you know, accepting it and throwing whatever pitch was out there. But I think more than anything else is – mentally, he's come in, and what he said this morning to us that really struck me was he talked about even when he was at Notre Dame playing football, he never really had to earn anything. You know, everything just came naturally to him. And I think mentally, you know, maybe that same mindset he was going through that the last few years and just thinking that it was going to all come to him. And this year he came to camp a little bit different mindset, saying, hey, I have to earn this, put more work into it. And I think that has shown. I mean, other than one bad start where he gave up 7 of the 10 earned runs he's given up in spring, I mean, he's been great.
Wow. All right. So we've got the mental approach and him now working on it a little bit more. Do what you want with that. From his fans will hear that and some will not take that well. But I've been looking at him. And, you know, I've got some larger fatigue on believing in him. But I'll be watching these, you know, first few starts, and we'll see what he's doing concretely different. The command has been great. He's only walked one guy. So that's been part of it, keeping the ball down and keeping the ball in the lower part of the strike zone.
Yeah, and that's just before his start yesterday. That's what Dale Swain talked to us about. You know, he really needs to keep the pitches down. That's huge for him. You know, yesterday he faced like 7 or 8 left-handers in that lineup. So that even more so than just having a good game, that was impressive how he went through the lefties as well. And, you know, I understand why fans will continue to be skeptical, but I do see a difference in his attitude and his approach. And, it, you know, at least in spring, and take that for what it's worth, he looks different.
Hoger, it looks like they made some decisions, too, about the backup catching spot. Why did they go with Clevinger instead of Castillo?
Well, they really like Castillo, and you know, Dale Swain and Jed Hoyer said it was kind of out of all the – they had a lot of meetings this morning with a lot of players and kind of told them where they're going and what they're doing, and this was by far the hardest meeting they had, and they really had to make sure that he knows they consider him a future everyday catcher. Swain even said, hey, he could be playing all-star games, and he's going to be making a lot of money. They want him playing every day, and they also like the fact that Clevinger is a left-handed bat, and they can use him as a pinch hitter. So I think that, you know, and they both played really well in the spring, and Clevinger's won the job. And I think this is kind of one of those more long-term moves where they like Castillo for the future, they really like the fact they can use Clevenger's left-handed bat off the bench.
All right, the headline of the day is probably that Randy Wells, making $2.7 million, is going to Iowa. He had one option left. Randy Wells sent down. They're going to stretch him out and make him a starting pitcher again after tinkering with bullpen thoughts. And you know they're going to need more than five. So they're getting Randy Wells ready to be a starter and to be brought up. And that leaves them the ability to have certain guys who don't have options left up in the pen, guys like Rodrigo Lopez, Manny Corpus, and maybe Lendy Castillo is a Rule 5 guy. So there's still some competition for those guys, if indeed, you know, people care about that level of Cubs and the bullpen makeup.
Yeah, the bullpen's still wide open. That's the one thing they didn't really go into at all today. They didn't really give any hints whatsoever there. I like Rafael Dolis. I think he'll probably make the team, and now they're talking about Rodrigo Lopez as the long man. But other than that, we didn't really get any hints. As far as Wells goes, you know, he actually had a good spring, but it really seems like he never really had a chance. They really wanted Samardzija to seize a starting spot, and Volstead obviously pitched great and earned a spot in the rotation. But, I mean, Wells, he was very classy talking this morning, but he really seemed like he didn't really know what more he could have done. And I'm not really sure he had a chance. They want him to be the sixth starter, though. They made that clear. The reason, what was surprising, is that he didn't make the bullpen. Everyone kind of figured he would be the long man, but they have concerns about him, going to a shorter role and stretching back out. They really want to keep him stretched out. And because he had that last option, they're going to send him to Iowa. And he's going to, probably pitch their first game down there and be the top pitcher to come in as the sixth guy. Jed Hoyer even said he's a guy, he's probably going to make a lot of starts for the Cubs this year, even though he's going down to Iowa right now.
You were at Sox over the last couple of days, too. What stuck out from Glendale?
Well, here's a team.
That's not good, Hoger. That you had to. that means nothing stuck out.
Well.
I was thinking about that this morning, and I really, to make a leap, really the one thing that stuck out to me is Adam Dunn's attitude in the locker room. And what I mean by that is, here's a guy who's usually fun, he likes to goof around, and we didn't see any of that last year. I mean, we saw right at the beginning of the season, and then almost immediately after he came back from the appendectomy and struggled, he was very quiet last
year. Yes, Adam, he tightened up. He tightened up quickly.
He really did. There's no doubt about it. So when I walked into the clubhouse on Monday morning, and here's a guy who's having fun, he's having a good spring, it's completely different. Now, I don't know if that means he's good. I would expect he'll probably be better than what he did last year. I think that it'd be, once again, surprising if he wasn't. But I don't know if he'll ever be the guy he used to be. That said, he is definitely a different guy mentally, and I think that is a very good sign as far as he's concerned. As far as the whole team goes, I actually think they'll be better than most people think. That said, when I compare them to the Cubs, I don't know how good the Cubs will be. I think the Sox have impressed me more in the games that I've seen than the Cubs have. But long term, I mean, it's so obvious that the Cubs are set up better long term than the White Sox are. And you just look at some of the guys and the way that Ventura talks about his younger guys compared to the way Swain's talking about his guys. There's a very big contrast. I think ultimately, the Sox look better on the field right now, but it's going to be a struggle in the future.
Adam, thanks so much, man. Great stuff. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. No problem, guys.
Adam Hoge, our guy, 670 The Score at Ho Ho Cam Park out there in Arizona.
And you can read his stuff at 670thescore.com and Adam Hoge CBS on Twitter.